For Lent, we have been journeying alongside of Jesus to get closer to him. And we've been doing so through the Gospel of John, listening to Jesus' I am statements. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the light. Each of these I am statements and more we were listening to draw closer to Jesus' own understanding of who he is, as well as what he came to do. For the two are inseparable. Who Jesus is and what he does, they are the same. So often in life, we do things that we don't really want to own. That's not really who I am. I may have behaved like a jerk, but I'm not a jerk. Okay, maybe some of you think I am. But with Jesus, who he says he is and what he does are one and the same. That's been our journey through the Gospel of John, listening to Jesus' I am statements. They exist only in the Gospel of John. So it seemed fitting that we continue our Lenten journey by reading from the Gospel of John the Palm Sunday event. Today's event of his coming into the city of Jerusalem. It is a different reading. It's from a different perspective than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all disagree a little bit. Maybe disagree isn't the right word. They all have a different perspective, but they largely share the same thread. It's as if three people stood in one place and all saw it slightly differently, but they were all standing in one place, whereas John is standing from an entirely different place. And so this morning's reading is going to be different than what you normally hear on this Sunday. Because more often than not, we often read from Matthew, Mark, or Luke. But today we're going to read uniquely from the Gospel of John and get a little more context or another perspective to what was happening. So let's pray and ask God to open his word to us. Oh Lord, you have been so faithful. Even when we are not, you continually come forward to us with your good news of hope through Jesus Christ. This morning we pray that your Spirit would open to us your word once again, that we could hear anew and afresh those moments of Jesus' entering into Jerusalem. Help us, O Lord, once again to ponder who we are and who we are called to be. Through Jesus Christ. It's in your name we pray, O Jesus. Amen. We're in the 12th chapter of John, verse 9, and it starts this way. When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came, not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches off palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went out to meet him was that they heard that he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing? Look, the world has gone after him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's interesting that John records the disciples not really understanding all that was happening as it was happening. They were taking it all in, but they were also not connecting the dots. They didn't understand it. John says it this way, that they remembered all these things and realized that these things had been written about him and that they had been done to him. In other words, they remembered later, after he'd been glorified, after he'd been raised, they remembered and started to reprocess all that happened. Remembering. There's so many things we remember. Some things aren't worth remembering. Other things are poignant or powerful memories. The other day, our family was in the car, and someone threw out the question, "What is your earliest memory?" This was kind of different. It's different than the "What is your favorite birthday" type thing, right? You know, what is your earliest memory? Can you think about that? What's your earliest memory? Some interesting things we heard. Some not all that important. Others, powerful moments. My earliest memory was when I was 2, and I remember my family moving into our house. Don't remember much of it, and I couldn't have told you that that was what was happening. It was only as I shared that memory, we started to piece together later with my parents when I was a kid, that, wow, you remember move-in day. We remember all sorts of things, and they can be powerful once we begin to process what exactly happened. So what happened today? Palm Sunday. If we were to look at this again, rather than from a perspective for the many of us who've been in the church for years, if not decades, in which we've done Palm Sunday after Palm Sunday after Palm Sunday, what if we looked at it again from the eyes of a child? What if we started asking questions again like a child? For example, why is it called Palm Sunday? Why is it called Palm Sunday? If a child asked you that question, what would be your answer? I guess, or I'm suspecting, that you would say, "Oh, well, you know, that's when Jesus came to Jerusalem and they were all waving palms." You know, wouldn't that be your answer? Yes? I want to make sure you're still alive here. Okay, good. You don't have to answer. I just want to see some recognition that I'm not putting you to sleep yet. We would say something like that. Well, Jesus came into Jerusalem and they all waved palms. And that would be our answer, right? But from a child's perspective, why not call this Donkey Sunday? Oh, you laugh. But Donkey Sunday would be fitting. I mean, think about it. Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. We know from the other Gospels that they threw palms down on the road and they threw even their own coats down on the road for him to walk in on this donkey. And that there's a passage that even John records from the prophet Zechariah 9:9, a passage that was known to them and was a messianic passage, that is, meaning a passage that promised the one that God was going to send would come in such a way. And here he is coming in on a donkey. A donkey, a symbol of humility, as opposed to a king coming in on a real strong steed. We know that vision. We've heard that he came in humbly, riding on a donkey. A king that was humble. What an image. There's another meaning that is not as well known, and that is that a donkey wasn't just a humble image, it was also an image that a king could also ride in the hilly terrain, because a donkey presented the best footing. A donkey was a sturdy steed in difficult terrain and difficult times, so that the king wouldn't necessarily fall off and would be always stable. So there's another image in the donkey of stability and strength and certitude, if that's even a word. So maybe this could be Donkey Sunday, because he's fulfilling a prophecy and he's coming in humbly and sturdy. Why not Donkey Sunday? I know some of you just aren't going for it. But from a child's perspective, why not? Or why not call this Hosanna Sunday? Why not call this Hosanna Sunday? Instead of Palm Sunday, why not Hosanna Sunday? Hosanna, which means save us. Is that not fitting for the whole people of God to be calling out, save us? Doesn't that make sense? Is that not most fitting to say just before we get to Easter? Oh God, we have sinned upon sin over and over again. We know what we shouldn't do, and we still go and do it. We tell you we won't do it anymore, and then we go right back to it. We are sinful. We are broken. Save us, oh God. Hosanna Sunday makes all the sense in the world. Furthermore, that passage, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, is not just something that they all suddenly thought up to say. It's not something that was passed over the internet for everybody to write down on their cards and put up. It was something they knew. It was swelled deep up within them because it came from a series of psalms. I've told you this before, the psalms were teaching psalms. They were psalms, they were rules to live by. And Psalm 113 through Psalm 118 were known as the Hallel Psalms. I'm just going to challenge you for a moment to see if you can say it. Hallel. Hallel. And I want to assure you, you have not sworn in church. It's Hallel, like Hall with an L on the end. Hallel. Hallel simply means this. Praise. Praise. Hallel means praise. Psalm 113 to Psalm 118 were the praise psalms. They were the psalms, they were called the Egyptian Hallel. They were psalms of praise, and they were all about coming out of difficulty and being brought into glory. And the Hallel psalms, the Egyptian psalms of Hallel, these praise psalms from 113 to 118 were the typical psalms that were recited when the pilgrims, that is the Hebrews, traveled to Jerusalem, either for Passover, the feast that is about to happen for Jesus and the Jews, or later the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths that came towards the end of the harvest season. Two times a year, many would travel as pilgrims, several hours, several days, to get to Jerusalem. Jerusalem would swell up, much like Holland swells up during tulip time, swell up with people. And as they came into them, it was typical for them to sing and chant these praise psalms from 113 to 118. It was part of what they did. In the same way that when we come around Christmas, suddenly we're all singing Christmas songs. We just do it. We expect it when we walk into a store to hear Christmas music. This was an expectation. This is what they did. These were psalms of praise, and they knew them backwards and forward. And from Psalm 113 to 118, these psalms of praise, towards the very end of that last psalm, Psalm 118, verse 26, towards the end of that psalm, not quite the end, but towards the end of that psalm, towards the end of all those praise psalms, we hear this. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Save us. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. It's that incredible expectation that bring us out, deliver us out, and bring us into your glory. Save us, O God. So if you were singing those psalms of praise, those Hallel psalms on your way, what psalm would you likely be singing as you got close to the gates? That very one towards the very end there. In many ways, have you not often wondered, how are the Romans not cracking down on anything? Because they've seen this exercise year after year, more than once a year, where people are coming in, it's swelling up. Sure, they've got a greater guard and they're watching things more carefully, but this is what the Jews always do. But why not call this Hosanna Sunday? Save us, O God. If you don't like Donkey Sunday, why not Hosanna Sunday? And why Palm Sunday? So if you don't like Donkey Sunday, or say, well, Hosanna Sunday could have been a good choice, what about a third option? What about Lazarus Sunday? What about Lazarus Sunday? You see, we've got a puzzle piece that John fits in here that starts to open up the view and make more sense of what happened on this day. Just like we have a bunch of puzzles in the conference room that you're welcome to take out and play with and record if there's a piece missing. Many of you have probably wondered on Palm Sunday why all the crowds gathered and why they got excited about Jesus. What happened there? Well, we know that crowds often followed him, and so there was excitement and people were curious about him. But John, the gospel writer John, provides, I think, probably the missing piece. People had heard that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and they were really curious and really eager, not only to see Jesus, but also to see Lazarus. Wouldn't you want to see someone who was raised from the dead? They were eager to see him. And they knew that the religious leaders were uptight about things. Matter of fact, they were very upset about things. And so around Jerusalem, word was spreading and people were wondering. And you can see this earlier on in chapter 11. People were really wondering whether Jesus is going to come to the Passover this year. The people knew the lay of the land. They knew things were uncertain. They were eager to see him, but they were really wondering if he'd come this year. But they were eager to see him because not only had they heard about this man who spoke so many things and was a miracle worker, they heard that he raised Lazarus from the dead, and people were eager to see him and to see Lazarus. And so when they heard word that he was coming, can you imagine? All the pilgrims coming into Jerusalem, a constant flow, much like the buses that continue to flow into Holland during tulip time, a constant flow, and yet all the people in the region also like, he's coming, he is coming, and them coming out to see, and others being eager to see Lazarus as well, and word spreading, because as we're told in John, that people were witnessing still to the fact that Lazarus was raised from the dead. It was so much talked about that the religious leaders had even decided that they were going to put Lazarus to the death if they could find him. They had to shut this swell down. Lazarus Sunday, does it not make sense? I mean, here's the man who was raised from the dead by Jesus, kind of a foretaste of where we will be a week from now, where we will celebrate the resurrection, where we will celebrate not just that Jesus was raised from the dead, but because Jesus was raised from the dead, we too have a promise of resurrection from the dead if we just make Jesus our Lord and Savior of our lives. That we'll be forgiven all our sins and we too will be raised. So isn't it fitting that this could be called Lazarus Sunday? Because doesn't that make sense? It's a precursor, a foretaste to what is coming. You can just taste it. It's in the air. I get why you might not like Donkey Sunday. We have a certain view of donkeys, but okay, maybe not that. Hosanna Sunday, certainly. An incredible name, Save Us Sunday. And Lazarus Sunday, very fitting for resurrection, although we don't like to focus on any name other than Jesus. I get all that. So So as a child asks you, why Palm Sunday? Should not our minds be wandering and processing just like the disciples did after Jesus was glorified and sat at the right hand of God the Father? They began to process again all that happened, all that was written about him and all that was done to him. And they started to piece it all together and say, oh my. They started to see it all in its fullness. They had the options of seeing that here was the one who came humbly and sturdy, the one who you could count on, and the one who was about us and not himself. Or you could see the one who was going to save us from all that we suffer. Save us from our sins, our brokenness, our separation from God. They could see the one who was the promised resurrection. And yet they settle on palms. Not that it's written that this must be called Palm Sunday, but why does the church come to that place? Now, to be fair, I don't have an absolute definitive answer. It's not like I can tell you Wikipedia says this, but rather to say this. Palms Palms. They're wonderful to wave. And I almost had to take one out of a grown man's hand just as we entered worship as he was poking the back of his friend. What is it, a comment? Boys will be boys? Palms were a symbol for ancient Israel. Palms were a symbol of victory and of peace. Victory and peace. Palms, you can find this image printed on coins, ancient coins. Palms were a reminder of a time when the people of Israel threw off those who were controlling them, the Seleucids at the time. It's a time between the Old Testament and the New Testament, a time where they were so dominated and their temple was taken over. And the people had had enough. And a fellow by the name of Judas Maccabeus and others overthrew their occupants. From that you get the festival of Hanukkah, the celebration of lights, the celebration of that throwing off. Well, here they were 100, 200 years later, once again occupied by the Romans, waiting to be freed, waiting for a victory and for peace. Hosanna, save us. These were a symbol of an anticipation for a future that was not yet. A future that had a past that showed that God had been faithful in the past. That God had brought them out of Egypt and delivered them. That God, even in their more recent past of 100, 200 years, had helped them overthrow and throw off their enemies. Palm Sunday. It was a reminder of victory and of peace. This Sunday is a strange Sunday in truth. Because on one hand, they are celebrating the King that has come. And on the other hand, they don't know that they're celebrating the King that has come. On the one hand, they're saying, save us. And on the other hand, they don't know that they're being saved. On one hand, they're looking for someone who's finally humble and doesn't have to lord over them and is there and is sturdy. And they can't see the one who's going to humbly go to the cross. and set for all time the forgiveness of our sins. Palm Sunday is a Sunday of opposites. If we were still using liturgical colors, we would be dressed in purple at the start and leaving in red. Purple, the sign of repentance as well as royalty, but also red, the sign of suffering and passion. Why do they call it Palm Sunday? Because in this Sunday, we see our victory coming, even if we don't see it fully as yet. This Sunday, may we worship and praise the only one amidst all those people who really knew what was happening. They thought they were celebrating and rejoicing, and they were even hoping for the overthrow in those moments. He was the only one who knew that he was going to his death to overthrow far more than they could imagine. Let us worship God. Let's pray. O Lord, help us to remember what you have done. In giving yourself up fully, in humbly riding in on a donkey, and humbly going to the cross. That even as we cried out, save us, that we had no idea how much you would save us. As we look to see truly someone who was raised from the dead, could it be possible that you were making a way to raise us all eternally if we but call upon your name? Help us, O Lord, to once again see the victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.